right, it started.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. This is the Vanguard Academy board meeting for Tuesday, August 25th of 2020. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. And we'll go ahead and start that. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America,
to the Republic
stands one nation under God,
indivisible,
liberty and justice for all.
That was awesome. we'll start with a roll call. This is Kent Johnson, board chair.
Chris Mitchell, treasurer.
Kim Mangum, board member.
Yes, everybody. Darren Jenkins, board member. Hello, did I lose you?
No, you're still there.
Oh,
okay.
Joni Jenkins, counselor.
Ron Williams, CFO.
Stephanie Evans, board assistant.
I think the only one we haven't heard from is Suzanne.
Hi, can you hear me?
This vehicle is connected by on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I didn't remember how to get the audio on.
Yeah, we can hear you good now. So I think,
okay.
So I think that's everybody. Is there anyone else that hasn't announced their name? I think that's good from the list that I have in front of me. We'll start off with, we should all have a copy of the minutes, the board minutes from the July meeting, July 28th, 2020. They were sent out with the packets, so we'll start with that. And I'll give everyone a few minutes to read over those. As soon as we've had a chance to read them, we'll entertain motions to approve those minutes. And we'll take a few minutes to look at those now.
I motion to approve the previous board minutes.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes for July 28th, 2020 board meeting, say yes.
Yes.
I heard two, I think, let's see, Grace. I heard Grace, I heard Dr. Darren, and I think I heard Kim, so that's, and yes for me, so that's four, so we've approved them. We did miss the first item on the agenda. We'll go back to that. Do we have anyone present that would like to make a public comment at either Vanguard or on the call at this time? Is anybody present at Vanguard?
I am not at Vanguard. I don't know. John Williams might be. He was going to join, not. I don't think we have anyone at Vanguard.
Okay. I think where we posted the link publicly, I think if somebody wanted to make public comments, they would have had the opportunity to log in on that link. So I think if we'll assume that there's no public comment at this time and move on to the next item, we'll go to number three, which is the third item on the agenda, which is the director report. I'll turn that over to Kathleen and Suzanne.
and I don't know that Kathleen was able to make it, but just a quick overview or update. We did open on Tuesday. We have most of the schedules cleared up and students in the classes where they need to go. We do have five, if I remember right, five students who have requested to be online only. And we have 72 that want to be hybrid students attending part-time on-site and part-time online. So we have put together an online course for every course we offer at Vanguard so that each student that's choosing to do some or all of their education online will be able to do that with Vanguard and their regular teachers. We also have all of our teachers are fully scheduled, in fact, a little overscheduled right now. Typically, we would try to give every teacher two prep periods, but right now we have given them one every other day. And so we're working on trying to solve that problem. It has been recommended that we consider, or I have recommended we consider Friday as an online day so the teachers can address the needs of the online students better, and they would maybe do a little preparatory toward if we do end up with a soft closure or anything like that again this year, so that we can kind of practice what we need to do and do it to an excellent level. Our building is up and running. We are outsourcing our cleaning company right now, so that hopefully will make the building shine. And as we all know, the mask mandate coming out from the governor's office and the Salt Lake County Health Department requires that all of us wear masks. Anyone on school property is supposed to wear masks while on school property. And so we're establishing that habit with our students and staff. Now we're just trying to work through that process, and we have provided every student with a cloth mask, a washable reusable cloth mask, as well as a shield and a minimum of one reusable or disposable mask. We do have masks at the front desk when students arrive and have forgotten theirs. We don't have an unlimited supply. They're going pretty quickly. We need to maybe find a way to help our students remember how to keep the masks with them. And so that we don't, a lot of times the students are leaving them at the lunch tables when they're finished, and then they go get a new one for their second half of the day. So we just need to work through that process. As far as teaching staff, we are, like I said, we're fully scheduled with all of our teachers. We have one teacher on maternity leave, a couple of them coming up, and we're kind of short on substitutes and paraprofessionals. So we're hoping we can find some quality paraprofessionals to come and help support. And I don't know that I have any more than that.
Have we received any extra funding to cover for the cost of the masks or other?
Yes, we did. We've used some CARES funding for some. Oh, and we have cleaning supplies, cleaning kits in every classroom so that the teachers and students can wash down the desks and chairs at the end of each class period and wash down and sanitize doorknobs and the high frequency touched areas. We did use some CARES funding to purchase some of those supplies, but the state actually used some of their funding, and they provided us with several of the disposable masks, and most of the cloth masks that we did get did come from the state. So we haven't spent an horrific amount of money yet, but I believe we're going to need to get some more cloth masks to maybe try again and make sure the kids have what they need.
Okay, so we're working on efforts to collect compliance.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Anything else on the director's report or
Oh, I do want to update on the expansion request. We did submit that on time. The charter board has reviewed it to determine if we qualify to apply. And there are two areas that they have determined that we do not qualify to apply yet. We have until the 28th to submit anything additional that might help them change that decision. So one of them is a policy that we have. We have a child abuse policy that doesn't clearly explicitly state that we would provide training for child sexual abuse training for our staff. And so we have brought that policy tonight for our board meeting for approval on updating that policy, amending that so that it does include the explicit statement that they're requesting for that, that we need to have in our policies. And then we are also sending some information that other thing we didn't qualify for the expansion request was with our special ed. We have a needs assistance rating on our RDA, and I've been in contact with the state special ed and our special ed director at school, Cherie, and we have a few things that we can provide for them. Asked them to provide the rubric so that we could know where the score comes from and what that means. And so the rubric indicates that we are at a level two, which is the next to the highest level. So it actually shouldn't be a problem. And so we're trying to help explain with our application that needs assistance should not hinder us qualifying for that expansion request. So we're going to submit that and hope that, along with an updated policy, and hope that they would approve us to apply at that point.
And I guess we ought to mention too at that point, if they do give us that approval to apply, then each of the board members would need to attend the September 10th meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct. They want the board to present the expansion request for Vanguard to the Utah State Charter Board, and that they would then review everything that they have, or they will already have reviewed it and make a determination and they'll take a vote at the board level. If it passes the Salt Lake Charter Board or the Utah Charter Board, then it will move up to the Utah State Board of Education. And they'll have to go through that. And again, if we pass that, then the board again will want to take some time to go up and present to the State Board of Education.
Okay, so we'll have to make sure that any board member that did not attend tonight, make sure they're aware of that.
Yes.
We probably would need to go through at least a couple times before we present that.
Yes, and if I remember right, they mentioned that once we've submitted any additional documentation on the 28th of August, they're supposed to, or they want to let us know by September 2nd, whether we need to prepare to present, if they're going to accept our application, and we'll prepare to present at that time.
Okay, that sounds good. Anything else on that point?
I don't think I have anything else, huh?
Okay, we'll go on to the Finance Committee report. I know last time we went through the budget. I don't know if they have any further updates we'll turn that over to Grace.
Do we have John Williams with us?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. As far as I know, there's not any additional updates from the last time that we did review the budget. John, have you come up with anything?
There's not anything. The main thing we're doing right now is we're in the middle of our audit, and it seems to be going fairly well. And so the auditors were in the school yesterday, and I've been working with them yesterday and today.
Okay.
How much longer is that going to be? Or how long? Much longer for the audit?
I don't know. Is it usually about a week, Suzanne?
Yeah, normally they're in the building for a couple of days, and then they
communicate via email to get any other documentation they request. But they did compliment John on his thoroughness and how well he's got our books in order. They were in for one day this year. They didn't have to be in there longer, and they're just communicating via email now. It usually does take a couple of weeks, but they won't be back in the building. We'll just be sending documents back and forth. And then within a couple of weeks, 2 to 6 weeks, then they'll have their report for us to review and approve, and then they'll make their final report after that.
Okay, anything else on the, any questions from anybody on the finance, for the finance committee? If not, we'll go ahead and move to the fifth item on the agenda, academics assessment. Any reports from either Joy, Marie, or Joni? I know some may not be here. I don't know if Joy or Marie are here, so it might just be Joni.
Yeah, Marie sent a Google spreadsheet that showed what we're doing as far as interim testing to see where the students are at.
And she sent that to the board?
Yeah, yep, it was sent a few hours ago.
Okay, so if anybody has questions, they can pull it up and look at it, and we can discuss that before the meeting's over. Or you can just send questions directly to Marie. Do you have any updates, Joni?
Just as I mentioned, the scheduling, we finished up all the schedule changes. Any student request schedule changes are done as of now, unless there's any unforeseen things that came up. Concurrent enrollment, everything, all the students are getting registered for their classes. I think everything is going well, and we're ready to start a great year.
Awesome. Any questions from the board with academics, assessment, or counseling? This might be a record for
I do have actually, I do have
sorry, go ahead. Okay, never mind. I take that back.
Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
Sorry to ruin the record. I'm just wondering, have we taken steps to make sure that all of our CE students have made sure that they're registered for the right CRN number, that they are in the right classes, and their schedules are all fixed so that they are on the right path according to their GPS?
Yes, so the counselors have all gone together and reviewed each student's schedule to make sure that they're in the right classes, and then Heidi has been going through and is continuing to finish verifying that every student, the ones that they're registered for through the college, matches their schedule. Few little tweaks here and there that's had to happen. I went over the last ones of my students today with her, and I believe she was going to finish the rest of them with spring as well. So I think we're well on our way to make sure all of that is happening.
Do we have a review process in place that if that happens, that the parents are involved in that review process so they can see, so that as you go through and verify that, are the parents notified and do they sign off on it as well?
I'm sorry. Are you talking about verifying that they're in the right college path or verifying that it matches their GPS?
Probably both. I think just the process as the counselors review that and make sure that they have all those classes and they're in alignment with their GPS. It'd be nice to have at least one step in that process, say the parents sign off and say that we verified that as well.
Yeah, I did send out a packet on the first day of school with schedules not coming out until the first day of school. It was a little bit frantic with it. Didn't go real as smooth as we'd like it to, but I did have a packet that was sent to the students. It was not emailed to the parents, and it was not signed off. So that is a review point that we want to work on that for next year. I don't know if we want to email it to parents now at this point. What are your thoughts?
I think we absolutely do need to email it to parents and just have them give it one more look to make sure that those schedules are in order and not make any changes without the parents making sure that that is what the original GPS or corrected GPS plan was when he went over it with their counselor, so that they stay right on track.
Okay, and I will go ahead and do that. I'll send it out. And do you want us to go through and follow through with a parent signature on every single packet at this point, or just email it and send out messages to tell them that they need to follow through on that? One of the issues that we have that we're looking at updating for this next year is we didn't print or send each parent when we met with them on their GPS plan. Then we did give them a copy of it. A lot of parents have lost it. They even have access through Google. Some parents struggle with the technology, don't know where it is, can't find it. So we would probably need to send them a copy of their current GPS plan or CCRP form in order to make sure that everyone can review it correctly. Do you want us to go ahead and print each one out for every student and send it to the parents to make sure they're to review?
I think so. Is there any reason why we wouldn't do that?
No, I think we can. It's just okay. That.
I think that actually will help us.
It does take a bit of time, but I think it's the right thing to do.
I think it actually will prevent some complications down the road where your parent just barely gets in, you're at a drop date and your parent realizes, oh, that schedule is not the original schedule that kid should have had. And oh, guess what? That kid is in 12th grade. So now your options are very limited. I think by, taking proactive, being proactive about it right now will help prevent that later on down the road.
Okay. That sounds good.
And just to follow up on that, it'd be nice on the application to make sure there's a line item that reminds us to do that, and then that someone has to check off, and then so we can review that as well.
Okay, I'll make note of that and get that information. In fact, we actually have a meeting on Thursday to review each line item on the scheduling app.
And I think part of that would be how to communicate with the parents as well, because I know it's a challenge to send stuff to them and try to communicate and get signatures. But I think if we have a trail of communicating with them, so showing that we send out the information in multiple ways, or at least enough so that they can know that they have received that, and then they can respond. And then it's kind of a training issue on the parents to help them to know that they should look at those things and respond if they want to get their students, their children into the correct classes. And I think most parents should be pretty responsive once they start recognizing how important that is.
And we had wondered actually at one time whether or not we should, and I think we're planning on doing that this year, is setting up parent Gmail accounts that are connected parent Vanguard Gmail accounts to where that they can have access to their student stuff all in one place, but that it's also secure and protected. I don't know where the status is on that, but that's what I had heard. And maybe that would be the form of communication there. But I'm not sure on that one.
I wonder if we have the capacity with Gmail or Gmail system to include. We probably seem like we would be able to, but that's the maintenance would be the biggest challenge, it seems like.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly where we're on that. I had heard that that's something we were going to do, but can look into that a little further.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Hey, anything else on that? So I'm just going to put in the, to look at our app, make sure it's on our checklist for parent review, and to go ahead and send those out and follow through on the signatures for from every parent.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Any other questions, any comments on agenda item 5? If not, I think we're ready to move to our last item on the agenda, which is the our only voting item tonight. Excuse me. We'd like to approve the child abuse policy. I think everybody has been emailed. In fact, it looks like everybody has been emailed with a new policy. If you want to take a few minutes to review that, and any we'll entertain any questions or comments on that now. From the, as I read through it, it looked like there's minimal changes. It's just adding the portion on the child abuse too. Would you want to, I sense Kathleen's out here. Would you want to make a few comments on that, Suzanne?
Yeah, Kathleen did ask if I would present that. So that's the document or the policy that I mentioned earlier on. It, in order to meet the guidelines that the state has put out for those, that policy, we need to explicitly state that we will provide training for child sexual abuse, not just general abuse. So we just put the verbiage in there to make sure that's included. And primary reason for putting it before the board now is, again, that is part of that application for expansion. That is the one area besides the special ed document that disqualified us for, applying unless we can submit the documentation to let us to let them know that we are in compliance with that.
Has everybody had a chance to review and generate any questions on that, or do we feel like we're ready to vote on that item? I think it's a small enough change, but an important enough change. I think we're ready to vote if there's anyone wants to make a nomination.
I motion to approve the child abuse and neglect reporting policy.
I'll second
the motion. Okay, so we'll go ahead and make the vote now. The vote is to approve the new child abuse policy. All in favor say yes.
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 And yes, I'll say yes as well. We do have a quorum of 4, and that is it's been approved unanimously with the members present. So that policy has been approved. That's the last item on our agenda. We'll entertain motions to close at this point.
I motion to close the meeting.
I'll second it.
All in favor of closing the Vanguard Academy board meeting for August 25th, 2020, say yes.
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 And I'll say yes too, so the meeting has been closed. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.